So Parshas Tzav, in many ways, is a repeat of Parshas Vayikra. At least it seems that way at first glance, because both in Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav, we have a list of the karbanos, of the five central categories of karbanos, of the Ola, Mincha, Shlamim, Chatas, and Asham, right? the Ola, which is fully burnt, the Mincha, which is the flour offering, the Shlamim, which is the peace offering, loosely translated, where both the Kohen and the owners of the karban eat it, the Chatas, the sin offering, and the Asham, in the case of doubtful sin. And you have it, like I said, both in Vayikra and in Tzav. And the question that the Rishonim try to deal with, the Ramban deals with this in Perek Vav, Pasuchet, is why is it that we repeat the Karbano twice? So in order to understand that, we need to enter a little bit into the details of the differences between the recording of the Karbanos in Vayikra and in Tzav, and then we'll be able to tease out a little bit of the differences, and then we'll try to figure out the meaning. Here we're going to have to start with a little bit more technicalities. That's just the nature of Vayikra. So if you look in Vayikra, so the order, the presentation of the Karbanos is as follows. You start with the Ola, followed by the Mincha, right? So you start with the carbon that's fully burnt, and then you have the mincha, then you have the shlam, then you have the chatas and the asham. That was the list that I originally said. This is where the article is very helpful, because you can just look on the side and you can see their little heading. In Tzav, it's not like that. In Tzav, you have the ola mincha, that's the same way we started in Vayikra, but then you have the chatas, right, as third, which was fourth in Vayikra, then you have the asham, which was fifth in Vayikra, and then you have the shlamim, which moved from place three to place five. So that's difference one between the two presentations. The other difference in the presentation is exactly what we're told. And in Tzav, each of the karbanot actually gets a lot more press time. And a lot more details are told about the karbanot. And we go through the actual differences in the procedure. So the question is why? And don't worry if you didn't remember the details, because we'll come back to the details to explain the difference. And what emerges, what the Ramban notes, is that it seems to be that really Vayikra and Tzav are trying to accomplish two completely different things. Vayikra is talking to the owners of the karbanos. Now, if you're an owner of a karban, so what do you need to know? You need to know why you bring a karban. Right, you're not bringing the karban, you're bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen is taking it from here. You need to know why you're bringing the karban. Parshas Vayikra focuses on why we bring karbanos. And the organization of the karbanos, as we find in Vayikra, is exactly this way. It starts with the unit of the three karbanot nidava, the three cases in which you can bring a volunteer offering, a voluntary offering, rather, and then moves to the two obligatory karbanot. So you start with the ola. You start with the burnt offering, then you move to the mincha, which at least some olot and minchot are voluntary, and then you have the shlamim, so that group of three, and then you move to the chatas and the asham, the ones for sins, either sins that you for sure did or sins that you might have done, or the chatas and the asham, and it's organized in that way. Because again, if we're talking to the people bringing the karbanot, the important question is the question of why do you bring the karbanot? The second thing that you're not going to expect to find in Vayikra, which in fact you don't, is the details of how you bring the karban. Because if you're talking to the owners, it doesn't matter. They bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Kohen takes them there. So if you look, for example, you have a few psukim, right? You don't have no details as to what you do with the karbanah, but it's the truncated version of it, right? You bring the ola, and then you have like a quick summary. You shecht it, right? V'shachar es ben abakar, and then he sprinkles the blood, right? The sort of the Rashi prakim, the headlines. But if you looked in Parshat Tzav, you have instead of the three, four psukim that are devoted in Vayikra, here you have a detailed story of what happens after the karban's brought. Right, Tzav opens with Tzav is Aharon ves banav lemor zos tarasa ola yola mokdal mizbech kol alay lada boker. Once you have it there, so then you put it on the fire and it stays there all night. Veisham mizbech tu gadbo, and the fire will be all night. Vilavasha kohen midovad mechnasevad, and the kohen wears these clothes, and you go through all the details. In fact, the Ramban points to the fact that the heading of Parshat Tzav seems to indicate that the audience is now different. It opens with Savas Aaron Vesbanav Lemor, talk to Aaron and his children, as opposed to Vayikra, which opens with Daber el bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jews, right? This is not, if you just read the Pesukim carefully, the Ramban points out, you see this difference. So, again, if Vayikra is talking to the bnei Yisrael, so then, first of all, makes sense that we organize the karbanot based on the reasons you would bring them, and that you limit the number of details about how to actually bring it, because the Jews don't need to know that information, so to speak. Tzav, which starts with, speak to the bnei Aaron, speak to the kalanim, so, first, you're going to expect to see more details, which we do, and this is what you wear, this is how long it stays on the fire, and things like that. But also, if Tzav is the instruction manual for the Kohanim, so then you're going to expect a different organization. Because from the Kohanim's perspective, it doesn't matter why people brought it. What matters is the status of them now that they're in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you look at the organization that we have in Parshas Tzav, it goes like this. You have the Ola. Now the Ola, again, starts it like it did before. Now Ola is unique because it's Kula Kalil. So in many ways it is the holiest Karban because it all goes to God. Then you have the Mincha. Well, the Mincha, is it Kulo Kalil or not? I'm quizzing. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. A Minchat Kohen, right? If a Kohen brings a Mincha, it's Kula Kalil. It's totally burned up. If a Yisrael doesn't, so then part of it is eaten. But only a kometz, only a handful of it is eaten, and it's only eaten by Kohanim. Mm. So, right, we're starting to see the kometz, the part of it which is eaten.
The kometz is burned.
Right, sorry, the kometz is burned. The rest of it that's eaten, right, is only eaten by the Kohanim. It's not that much, right? You throw part of it, and then there's what's left over. So, as we'll see, this pattern continues, that once you're talking to the Kohanim, the organization is not about motivation, it's about the status from holiest, so to speak, to least holy. You start with Ola, which is Kula Kalil. Then you have Mincha, which has a subcategory, which is Kula Kalil. And then other ones which are not, but that which is eaten is A, only eaten by Kohanim, and isn't that much food. Then you have the Chatas, which has the status of Kodesh Kadashim, right? Where, again, Chelek is Nikrav, part of it is brought and part of it is eaten, but again, that which is eaten is only eaten by the Kohanim, and the same is true of the Asham. And then you end with the Shlamim, which has the status of Kachim Kalim, and can be eaten by the owners. Right? So when you move to the organization in Tzav, where you're talking to the Kohanim, you're writing the instruction manual, now what's important is, how do we treat it? And we go from holiest to least holy, from the most given to God to the least given to God. Ola, Mincha, which splits, Chatas, Asham, which are eaten but only by the Kohanim, and Shlamim, which is eaten by non-Kohanim.
Wouldn't you say the Kohen needs to know the intention of the people?
So that's important also, right? But remember, everyone has access to both Parshiot. It's just that, right, if you're focusing, right, you're writing, right, when you have the instructions sitting there in the Beis HaMikdash, right, you have the pragmatic issues. They, in the background, know what was told to the whole Jewish people. But if you're then turned just to Kohen, this is what you have to know. So that's in terms of technicalities, and that emerges from the Ramban. Now, can we tease out a lesson from these two presentations? So it seems that we can. Before we get to that, I'll just note one more difference. One more difference that emerges, and this is how Reb David Zvi Hoffman understands the psukim, is a question of when were these psukim said. So he argues that the Parshas Tzav, actually, historically, precedes Parshas Vayikra. Parshas Tzav is given at Har Sinai, as opposed to the ones in Vayikra, where do we find them? They're given at Ohel Moed, which means they're given now. Right? They're given now. So he points out that it's not, and this also makes sense, right? Because the laws given to the Kohanim are the instructions, so to speak, right, are given at Sinai. The fact that you then have to reiterate the speech, you have to reiterate that to the Jews, because the Jews didn't need to know about it until now. Everything in Ohel Moed are the things that everybody needs to know. Sinai is like the rules, right? But then as things become practical, so then you reveal it to all the people. Okay. Now, what can we learn from it? So there's a few possibilities, and I'll just pick up on a few. Now, besides the Ramban picking up on it, there isn't so much picking up Tzav. So if you look at articles that people write, they tend to take this Ramban and then see what they can do with it. So I looked at a few. So one, Rabbi Chanoch Waxman, argues something that I think is just very nice. It's simple, but I think it's nice. And he says that there's a tension throughout Sefer Shmos, and then it's reiterated here in Vayikra, between to what extent Kedusha allows for closeness to God, and to what extent it demands distance from God, right? Or care to be taken, right? You have by Har Sinai, right? Come close, but don't come too close. You have it, right? Even the Kohanim, right? They're close in, but their job is to make sure Vazara Karev Yumat, and that you have in coming up next week, right? You have Nadav and Avihu who come too close, and then they die, and there's this tension between the distance and the closeness. He said, in many ways, that dichotomy is epitomized by the Vayikra Tzav split. When you talk to the Jews, right, when you say that which happens into the Beis HaMikdash is relevant in your lives, you're emphasizing the aspect of closeness. Right? You're saying, even though you're not the Kohanim, the Karbanot are still, they still relate to you. And here's why you would bring a Karban. Here's why you would come to the Beis HaMikdash. Here is why you would come to God. But then, Tzav, we turn away from the Jews and say, okay, but you know what? There's a limit. Now I'm turning to the people who work there. And now what's important is the status in the Beis HaMikdash, the distance you have to keep. There's that which is Kula Khalil, that which goes to God and even the Kohanim can't take. There's that which the Kohanim get but you can't get. And at the end, don't worry, there are certain things that even you can eat. Right? But by turning to the Kohanim and focusing from the Kula Khalil, that which is totally out of the reach of man, coming down to that which the regular person can eat, you emphasize the distance, right? You start with that which is totally removed, and you turn to the Kohanim and emphasize the fact that there are people who can be closer to God than others. And he said, if you take that, so in many ways, again, Vayikra and Tzav highlight this. Vayikra starts with the closeness, and that everyone can relate to the Beis HaMikdash, but remember there are limits. The Kohanim are more involved than you are, and there are limits. Certain things will go fully to God, and yes, there are things you can do, but we'll frame it with Ola. We'll frame it with the fact there are certain things that nobody can touch. However, he notes that if this is true, on the one hand, yes, it highlights the dichotomy, but which one starts Vayikra? The one that's aimed at everybody. So on the one hand, the Vayikra Tzav thing replays this dichotomy, that there is this level of closeness and the distance has to be kept. But on the other hand, by having this dichotomy and starting with Vayikra rather than Tzav, it emphasizes that what God wants you to think about is the closeness. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not that there are limits, but I'll let you come. It's, I want you to come close, but there are limits. So you start with Vayikra, and then you move to Tzav. A second point, which in many ways relates to this as well, Rif Sabato, in his article on this topic, he notes that another thing that is present in Tzav that's not in Vayikra, as I said, is the details of the Karbanot, but one of the details, the one that opens Tzav, is these psukim relating to the Esh al HaMizbeach, right, the fire that's always there on the Mizbeach. And he notes that the second difference between Vayikra and Tzav is Vayikra is all about the human initiative. And this is why you would come. But you don't want just human initiative. You want to know that God is, right, reaching out as well. So Tzav, right, Toch Kedei, focusing on the limits, opens with the reminder that the reason there are limits is because God is reaching out to you. There's the fire constantly on the Mizbeach. Right, so in Vayikra, we talk about the fire you bring, but Tzav, which emphasizes the distance at the same time, emphasizes the fact that there's that fire that's always there. And by bringing the Karbanot, you're instituting the Beis HaMikdash, and God is reaching back towards you. So you take it together, and you pay attention to the details, which admittedly, you really have to sit there and pay attention to the details to see the difference between Vayikra and Tzav. You see, or you can tease out several ideas. Again, one, this dichotomy between closeness and distance, which opens to closeness because that's what God wants us to think of first. And the second thing is that even within the distance, part of what creates that distance is that God is reaching out to you. So as soon as we start talking about the particularities of the Beis HaMikdash, the fact that you're limited, the first thing we say is, by the way, though, when you bring that carbon, there is this constant fire that Hashem is bringing into the picture, and the distance isn't arbitrary. It's not because God doesn't want you there, it's because He does. You just can't handle His presence. So when you talk about the distance, the first thing you find out is the reason there is distance because God is there. So it's both, you know, a warning, but also a comfort that it's not a distance of distance. It's a distance of closeness. It's the paradox of the Beis HaMikdash. So that is the Vayikra Tzav sort of continuum. Okay.